Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 756. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Just watching some hoops as we do this. I am not spoiling the NXT as per usual. I know that I'm actually recording it. So this might be somewhat distraction free from any NXT happenings. Although there is plenty going on there anyway, but I can get to that with Jeremy some other time. We're here to talk about the A shows, and in particular, definitely the most viewed wrestling show in all of sports entertainment, SmackDown. They concluded a long-running storyline at this point between RK-Bro and the Usos. We thought we were getting a tag team unification match at Hell in a Cell. That ended up turning into a six-man tag match. And though there were shenanigans, it did not involve, anything about the belts being upheld. And we did get something of a unification under the Usos.
Yeah, it does feel like a long time coming for this. They went through with the match. They went through with not a clean finish, but a decisive finish. Yeah. Usos are the undisputed tag team champions, and. With a copious amount of help from one Roman Reigns, and then beat the living hell out of RK-Bro after the match in such a heavy angle, it made children cry.
Oh. Yeah, that was one where... I feel like I've maybe heard some commentary that there aren't that many kids in the audience these days. The beatdown of RK-Bro definitely proved that wrong. There is no shortage of crying kids when that was happening.
Yeah, no, it was something to see. You do not see it very often this day and age, but you know what? It's welcome to see some old school heat. Interestingly enough, Riddle, who seemed to actually get the worst of the beating, shows up on Raw, but Randy Orton nowhere to be seen, playing up a supposed back injury that Orton even had allegedly before the match even started on Friday. And Orton seemingly out of action for some time while Riddle gets to wave the flag for RK-Bro. And while he did be able to score a victory in a six-man tag that the Usos were involved in, it does feel like Riddle's target is more on Roman Reigns than it is on getting back the tag team championships.
Yeah, it seemed like a pivot that you could work with as far as opponents goes for Roman Reigns. You could, depending upon how long Randy Orton may or may not be out, have Riddle be the first one to take a crack at him and have Randy Orton be the next one up. It would definitely push out some plans for Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, no. It still feels like they're holding off until the overseas stadium show for McIntyre.
Oh.
Which, fine, but you kind of leave Money in the Bank and SummerSlam as a bit of lame duck challenger shows for Roman Reigns, and in particular SummerSlam. You don't want it to be that, and then Money in the Bank, putting it in a stadium, you really don't want that either. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do. Apparently, as of this moment, Roman Reigns is not working Hell in a Cell. He has been removed from all advertising for it.
Oh.
So that means that Roman Reigns will actually not defend his undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship for the first time until July, for nearly 3 months. And as of this moment, it looks like that match will be against Riddle. So they got 6 weeks to make Riddle into a believable challenger who maybe, just maybe, could pull off the miracle.
Yes. I think that they're definitely going to play him up as something of an underdog. I mean, it's easy enough to give him wins in the men's singles division.
Yeah, he could absolutely be, any number of people, particularly on Raw, which is the stronger brand, while also still having him show up on SmackDown to go after the Bloodline. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely doable.
Yeah.
And then you get Orton the SummerSlam title shot, or somewhere in there you do a triple threat, which would also, be... very doable. Once again, I mean, as someone who's who's actually going to be in attendance at Money in the Bank and has spent quite a bit of money for those tickets, I'd be lying if I said Riddle wasn't a disappointment. Go ahead.
No, I keep going.
No. I mean, it definitely hope that one of the stronger challengers that Roman Reigns has down the pike would be at Money in the Bank or SummerSlam, which I will understand that even though I'm Money in the Bank show, I'm going to SummerSlam. It is annually going to be a higher priority, but if it's Orton or the Triple Threat, once again you're in a situation where it's not the most believable title change.
Oh. Yeah.
Possibilities.
As much history as Randy Orton has, it would be pretty surprising for him to be the streak ender.
Yeah. Yeah, but they've got all summer to get all the pieces in place. They've got other things. Of course, Money in the Bank itself, it can be centered around the ladder matches. You've got interesting things going on in both women's divisions. Brock is advertised for both Money in the Bank and SummerSlam. rumors abound about John Cena's return for this summer. So once again, they'll have things, to prop up what might be a bit of a weaker challengers for Roman Reigns. But man, poor Drew. The guy just has nothing to do until they're ready to pull that trigger.
Oh. Yeah, there is no one between him and Roman Reigns, or even on his level and below Roman Reigns.
No, he ran through. Well, he didn't really ran through because it took forever. But he beat Corbin. He did. He even did a 3-week deal with Sami Zayn on TV.
Oh,
I guess maybe. See, you could have him do something with him and maybe Gunther, but, Gunther's on the rise, so you don't really want him to lose, and it looks like Gunther might end up with the U.S. title sooner than later now, so you really don't want to have Drew fail to get that title and then go for the big one, although they don't things like that. It doesn't really make sense.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's weird. He's in a really weird situation, and I understand wanting to wait until you are in the United Kingdom. Now, I'm not familiar with the, you know, either the geopolitical or the or the soccer rivalries that exist in the UK involving Scotland and Wales, and if, you know, people would really, you know, a stadium full of people in Wales would really view Drew McIntyre as their own, or how many people would come in from Scotland for such a thing. You're a soccer guy, so you could probably, you might be willing to enlighten me on things of that nature.
Yeah, well, Wales is, you know how England's shaped a little bit, kind of like a cone coming down, and there's a little peninsula jutting off kind of on the south part there? And it's a little bit north of, like, the furthest south part. That's where Wales is, and Scotland's up top. I would think it'd be easy enough to have a lot of Scottish fans there if they want to see that.
People are going to come up, I imagine there will be a lot of. I mean, once again, these people have not been able to come overseas for WrestleMania in 3 years.
Oh,
so I imagine, you know, this being their show, they'll turn out in droves. They'll come in from Scotland. They'll come in from Ireland. You know, Germany, France. You know, once again, Europe is still pretty open in that respect.
You know, that's been one of those things that I guess I've noticed, and maybe this is an accidental topic to stumble into. I've been surprised at just the number of locations the WWE has been at recently. Like, I can't believe that there have been TV shows at Grand Rapids, Norfolk, and I'm trying to remember the other fairly small city. Oh, Toledo. Because they kept on just calling it Ohio, but they still had a Raw in Toledo. They are really hitting some places I feel like they have not hit in a long time. And
yeah, no. I mean, I'm going to Raw in Green Bay in a couple of weeks, and they haven't been to Green Bay since 2019. Now, granted, there would, you know.
Yeah, dates are pretty limited.
But yes, that was limited, but yeah, it was definitely not on their list until almost a year after they've been back on the road. So once again, you know, smaller markets that do have, you know, 10,000 seat arenas, you're a little away from the biggest city in the state. People are a little more starved for entertainment. Although when they're looking at the Green Bay, you know, big acts do come here. They do.
Oh, yeah.
There is a, you know, good sized arena, so, you know, it's not. Once again, as far as the state's concerned, it's not Milwaukee, but it's, you know, not Mayberry either. It is good for them. Remember back in the day, they really did used to hit every major city once a month into the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a number of live shows in the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania, which was maybe about 100,000 people at the time of my being there. And it was a regular stop.
Yeah, something like that would be. It wouldn't necessarily be the A tour. I imagine you may not have seen Hulk Hogan very much in Altoona.
I did not see very much Hulk Hogan. I did definitely. I saw the Ultimate Warrior once, at least. I definitely saw some Hacksaw Jim Duggan, but yeah, I don't really remember seeing Piper or Hogan.
Yeah, no, that would be, because, once again, you know, they ran A-towns, B-towns, sometimes even C-towns.
Yeah.
But what happened over time is more of these mid-sized and even smaller cities, you know, built an arena. They've got a minor league hockey team or basketball team.
Oh.
They try to get bigger musical acts to use the arena, and then also along with that, you know, WWE or AEW will come now. And they can do pretty well. And it won't be the C show with Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the main event. It will be. You will get Roman Reigns and all the big stars.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. And I mean, I guess I feel like that it's definitely got to be exciting for some people. I do feel like the crowds in general have been pretty solid for even the WWE. I don't know if the small market thing has helped out in that department.
Yeah, I mean, it probably does, yeah. You know, more entertainment-starved cities will react better. Of course, it seems like no matter how good the crowd is actually reacting, they have to add in their sound sweetening. they're very obvious sound sweetening, and it's just like, you don't have to do this. they're actually reacting.
There's
real people here.
Oh, yeah, because I forgot that, I believe there's a SmackDown happening here, and I am not going to that.
No, I am definitely not doing anything SmackDown exclusive for some time.
Because I did kind of forget about that. We were talking about big town, small town, but yeah, they're at least still hitting Columbus here, and it's still, yeah, because I feel like they did the usual a couple of weeks before WrestleMania trip, and then they usually do a second trip here at some point. And yeah, but I'm not ready to go to SmackDown. You know, as much as the Bloodline storyline has been, oof. They do not have a whole lot else going on for themselves.
No, it really doesn't right now. It's not a good situation, especially if you're there live to see the stars. Yeah, no.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm looking through this and Sami Zayn is the second reason to go. And despite the fact that I will love Xavier Woods for turning the small package into a finisher, not really going to SmackDown for Xavier Woods. Because, yeah, I just did a quick rundown here and... Yeah, Xavier Woods, Butch, what are they calling them, the Brawling Buddies now or something?
Something like that. Yeah.
I'm trying to see if the review has it, because, and it doesn't. But yeah, maybe it's Barroom Brawlers or something like that. I forget what the...
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. They are, they're kind of coming up with some groups here now. We'll see if anything comes of it. But yeah, again, Sheamus has been great. Butch is really seeming to take to this act. It's still a really weird act to be involved in. And
yeah.
He hasn't gotten to win a big match yet at this point.
No.
Because I do feel like we've at least seen a couple of W's for him. There is at least a little bit Raquel Rodriguez. Poor Shotzi is not going to be getting a push anytime soon.
No, she's not, and that's unfortunate. She really, really, I have no idea how they looked at her and thought, okay, we need to take this tank away from her. We need to take that helmet off of her, and we need to turn her heel. It's bad. I feel so bad for her. She has just been, as we Ben Brevoort has been through so much in the last year, and you know, she's still got a good paying job. She's on TV, but at the same time, it's gotta be disheartening just the same to have them basically decide that everything that made you you isn't good enough, and you're not good enough for the push. And they've this Raquel push and reverse they're doing, where they first had her challenge Ronda for the women's championship and lose, and now she's gonna start beating the other heels on SmackDown.
Yeah, so, we kind of thought that it was gonna go that way, and with this win, it definitely seems like that is the direction they're gonna head.
So Raquel can beat everyone else on SmackDown, but she can't beat Ronda, and that's already been proven.
I don't see Raquel being a big enough star to beat Ronda currently.
No, I don't know exactly what the end game is, although there's still always a strong possibility that it's Charlotte Flair.
Bayley has been
imminently on her way back for like 2 or 3 months now. still no sign of her. To get through Hell in a Cell, I guess you could throw Natalya or Shayna at her, and Shayna, you could have the quote unquote former friend stories to tell.
Oh yeah.
If they wanted to go that route, just to get Ronda in a match at Hell in a Cell without blowing through something more important. Although you really could do something with Shayna and Ronda as a bigger deal, though.
You definitely could. If they want to. Shayna's just been an interesting choice. They've definitely used her as something of a utility player. It's the believability factor of that win is going to be one of those tough pills to swallow. But they'll, like you said, they have enough story there that it'll work if they went that route.
Yeah.
So the women's division is it is really interesting. I guess I was a little bit surprised on Raw. I had kind of forgotten that Lacey Evans hasn't been back in the ring yet, and they were making a big deal out of her return.
No, she has not, and she will on Monday on Raw. Be interested to see what they do with her. It seemed like they were trying to play to go subtle heel with her, but maybe even too subtle. I'm not sure how people are gonna gonna even react to her. If they're gonna give her someone with a bit of a name, if they're gonna just throw a local jobber at her. Yeah, I am not optimistic about Lacey Evans' chances with this gimmick. It's just, she's a terrible babyface that's already been proven, and then even as a heel, they only push her so far before they have second thoughts as well.
She's one of those start-stops that I don't think any of us ever complained about.
Yeah, no, but that is the thing. She's absolutely missing something.
I can't lay my finger on what it is, really. You know, she matches up physically well with a lot of the other female stars, and she isn't too small for the likes of Charlotte and Well, I guess you don't have to worry about Nia Jax anymore, but, you know, I guess Charlotte's probably the biggest, or at least the tallest woman in the division now. So, she doesn't really have any size issues. And I don't know if I've seen her in a good length match, really, at this point. Lacey Evans.
No, and that is definitely part of the problem. No, and she's had her opportunities. She's been in the ring with Becky. She's been in the ring with Bayley, Sasha, Asuka, and it's never better than passable.
Yeah, I don't remember making fun of her for trying to injure anyone. Also don't remember lavishing praise on her at any juncture. Like, yeah, that's not really a good spot to be in. You don't need to be the greatest wrestler to be a superstar. But yeah, and I'll go back to it too. It was just, the way those promos came off was still just kind of strange.
The whole thing is strange. I don't understand it. I don't know why they made her relive all that. And you know, we live in cynical times, so it wasn't going to work for a babyface reaction anyway. But then also to use it as heel heat, that doesn't really make sense either.
Oh. Does not make a whole lot of sense. And I mean, she did get a pretty good reception, I felt like, when she came out to kind of fill time last week on Raw.
Yeah, in some markets, you know, maybe she will, you know, maybe the whole, you know, the veteran thing, the military veteran thing will play well. Some places in the South, it'll play well in the Heartland. Yeah, once again, it just adds to how weird this whole thing is.
And I guess I just find it interesting with how much they're trying to depersonalize the WWE as a whole and just make everyone characters, quote unquote. It's wild that you're going, oh, no, we're going to make this huge exception and literally tell this woman's life story. It just kind of seems out of place with the direction they seem to be headed creatively to. That I think is weird to me. Like, it doesn't square with everything else that they're going with. You know, we have to get Raquel Rodriguez so that we have a, we own the name.
Yeah. Well, Lacey Evans isn't a real name, so.
Oh, well.
They already got that part.
Yeah, but still, I think most of the point stands that it's strange to bring in that much real life when you're trying to turn a lot of people into almost cartoon characters. You know, to try and tell this real gritty story, and you just have bubble gum all around you. It's kind of strange.
Yeah.
So, and I'm trying to think of what else happened, for the ladies there on Raw, other than her being acknowledged is coming on. Because, Becky Lynch had a couple of segments here.
Oh, yeah. Becky Lynch earned her way into the women's title match in Hell in a Cell.
Yes, she did. And I do believe that was something that we had talked about, that if they didn't want to really burn Asuka straight up, on Bianca Belair this month. We were wondering if they go with the three-woman match, and that definitely seems to be the direction they've decided to go now that other plans were scuttled.
And it's where everything seemed to be going anyway. I still don't understand why they need, unless they wanted to push this match off to Money in the Bank, so they were just going to use Naomi as filler in between that for that. But once again, everything about that was very weird. And but you know, once again, the triple threat, it makes sense. These women have been in each other's orbit for weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
Bianca has not had a major challenger for her women's title at all in this entire reign, and it will be, you know, by the time we get into June, it will be 2 months since she won the title, and she's only defended it on TV once against Sonya Deville, who was definitely not a serious challenger.
The WWE just does not know how to handle babyface champions.
They struggle. They definitely struggle.
Yeah, I shouldn't say can't handle, but yeah, it definitely seems to be more of a sore subject than a heel champion. Because yeah,
it's
Bianca.
Just the only kid. I don't understand.
Yeah.
A heel would never hold a title there for very long back in the day. It was weird. So it's very weird. The pivot they've had and how they struggle to keep their baby faces likable and worthy of respect and cheers. It's dumbfounding at times, but they're getting out. They're on the right track here. Getting Bianca, Asuka, and Becky, the match should be tremendous. I imagine we'll get Bianca pinning one of them so that the other can be the challenger at the singles challenger at Money in the Bank. It could go either way. Although with Becky, you do have the synergy of going back to the scene of the crime in Las Vegas to have the final Becky versus Bianca match.
Yeah, that'd have a fun little flair to it if they decided to go that route. I don't know how cranky I'd be about Asuka being pushed off to the side.
Yeah.
But that's that's a bridge that we can really worry about when it's actually crossed.
Right.
Yeah, but it'd still be a good matchup there with Becky and Bianca round three back at SummerSlam. Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan still in a little bit of a dispute here with your favorite group, the Judgment Day.
Yeah, they're the lone highlight, I guess, of this whole thing for me. At least they're getting to show up and show out.
No.
The Judgment Day still not really doing anything for me overall, though.
Yeah.
And they are just beating down AJ and friends every week and getting and they get nothing back.
Yeah, it seems like they need some help, even though the odds are even currently.
Yeah.
And I do find it odd, the mystery of whether Judgment Day is going to have another component to it or not. Like, I feel like they wouldn't put it out there if that weren't the intention. Am I misreading the situation?
Yeah, that's interesting. Edge is literally throwing every possibility out there, including every single member of the opposing team, switching sides.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They're like, hey, what if AJ Styles joins and Corey Graves gives some somewhat plausible ideas as to why AJ Styles would join them? And yeah, it's kind of interesting. And it's not like AJ... Have AJ and Finn Balor really said anything in response? I mean, I feel like Liv Morgan's had the stronger response out of the three.
Yeah, it is definitely weird that they have not said emphatically that they're not considering this at all. But I don't think it would be AJ. I do think that if anyone crosses over to the other side, it'll be Finn.
Oh. Yeah.
Because they're saying it out loud, will that happen then? will it be someone we're not thinking about?
And I guess that's where my head is going. Like, it seems like it should be someone else. But the good guys kind of need to have the upper hand at one of these points for a fourth person to matter for Judgment Day.
Yeah, I mean, every time Styles has had Edge in any kind of compromising position, you know, first Priest showed up at WrestleMania, then Rhea showed up at WrestleMania Backlash. So there have been situations where, you know, AJ's had, you know, Edge, you know, in his sights, and somebody else got involved. But now that the Judgment Day is three people strong, you're definitely not seeing that now. I mean, it's been, you know, 2 weeks in a row at least of just absolute destruction. I mean, Finn wasn't even on Raw Monday. I don't even remember what they did to Finn on last week's show being that devastating, to be honest.
No, that seemed like the beatdown wasn't big enough to sell for another week.
Yeah, no,
I know that much.
So Finn not being on Raw was kind of weird. Yeah,
it's a weird feud. Like I guess just because I don't feel like they have anything planned for Styles and Finn Balor, I'm pro them becoming a tag team. I think that would be a really, really good and entertaining tag team.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely could be.
Yeah.
But I think this thing is, I think this feud's dragging on for a while, though, too.
Yeah, and then if Judgment Day gets a fourth, I would imagine that AJ Styles, Finn, and Liv Morgan would need to pick up a fourth to just at least even the odds. And then things get really strange. I don't know who's filling out whose roster in that situation. Because Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows aren't coming back to help AJ and Finn. We're not getting another. We're not getting another Bullet Club.
There's no place for them in the business anymore. I don't think I'd be happy to never see either of them ever again.
But yeah, I guess I was just trying to think of logical people that could help Finn and AJ. Yeah, that joke popped into my head because I do not. I think they're with Impact, and I really don't see the WWE re-signing them. Like, I just. Doesn't seem like the right thing.
Well, I mean, there was one name that Edge mentioned in his promo.
Tommaso Ciampa.
No, I mean, who would be on the other side?
Who was I? I must have missed that. Who was it?
Edge did mention John Cena.
Oh. Hey,
So,
that would spice up the feud quite a bit if they have John Cena involved.
yeah, it definitely wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't mind seeing it. That might be what this what this whole thing needs. Now, so again, a number of people could join up the Judgment Day without having to have Edge or Finn turn.
Yeah, for sure. And and that does kind of go the same way. Because the WWE is mentioning the extra partner, it seems like one's coming in the same vein. Because they're positing AJ Styles and Finn Balor, it makes me think that they are not joining. It's
Yeah.
the same rule. That was kind of a fun segment. Oh, Alexa Bliss continues to be an extremely confusing character.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. It's definitely very confusing. I'm not sure what she's even supposed to be right now. She's still carrying around Lily, but she's basically all goddess again. It doesn't. She seems confused as to what she's supposed to be. And there was that really weird moment of, or the aftermath of the match, seeing that after she wins, Alexa seemed upset about something and just kind of marched up the ramp, looking kind of angry.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, that girl could write a book about her. One day could write a book about her, about her issues with WWE and everything that's gone on in the last few years, and I would absolutely pay to read it.
It just to get the real honest. Even if it's kind of boring, I'd be ready to pay for the actual truth of whatever has gone on. 'Cause she has been a really curious case. She now ends up having, what is she 3-0? Oh, well, I mean, 2 wins against Sonya and then this week's win against Nikki A.S.H. That's the other thing. Like, her character is super confusing, but the wins are already starting to pile up.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're intending to do something with her because, though, that they have pulled the plug on her previously when she's been involved in ring. You never know. Oh, man. Oh, and how could I not say Asuka's promo this week killed me? Absolutely killed me. She is a very funny woman.
Yes, she indeed is very funny.
So I guess that about wraps things up for the ladies. I'm looking at Mr. Cody Rhodes taking on The Miz again. Seth Rollins ends up attacking to get this match to end in a DQ. Yeah, it's interesting that he is that Cody is feuding with two people almost at the same time.
Miz isn't a feud.
It's a distraction that is happening. Well, what? This is at least their second match together. And I
Yeah,
would.
it's their second match. I mean, they just needed a body out there. I mean, I mean, maybe we'll see Cody and Miz again. Maybe we'll see some kind of a tag team matchup next week or something. But Miz is more of a distraction than an actual feud for Cody Rhodes. It's good. What they did was fine. I mean, got one over on Cody, but then Cody was able to, got to his feet, left on his own power. The bit where he gave his the fan the belt back was cheesy but cute, and it seemed to work. So, I mean, once again, they've done a good job with this Cody Seth feud. And as of this moment, it is carrying Hell in a Cell. It's the only Cell match announced, and with Roman Reigns not on the show, apparently, this is your main event.
Just giving more and more proof to Cody Rhodes possibly being the one to topple Roman Reigns
that possibility is still out there.
Yeah, I do not think, although they could do it, I suppose, if they want to, that you don't think they're going to use Omos and Bobby Lashley in a Hell in a Cell, do you?
They already announced that it's going to be a handicap match with MVP in the match.
Oh. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes sense based on what they've been doing, but man, is what they've been doing not working. I mean, it feels like both guys are colder than before they started working with each other, especially Omos. Because Omos has lost so much of his aura having to sell for Bobby Lashley so much.
Yeah, they really needed... The first thing that MVP should have done is to get Omos away from Bobby Lashley to help his career.
Yeah, it's just not... I touched on my shoulders at the WrestleMania loss, but then there was the arm wrestling loss, then there was needing interference to win the match at WrestleMania Backlash, then there was the cage match loss, which was shenanigans, but still, once again, they're not going to just beat Bobby Lashley. So, almost ends up selling way more than he ever should.
That's the other thing. Like, you can get away with some quick pin type situations with maybe some other wrestlers. You can't have Bobby Lashley out here looking weak. Even if it's against someone who's 7'3", and for some reason, Vince really has it out to mention him as the Nigerian Nightmare now.
No, it's Nigerian Giant. Cole's the only Nightmare.
Sorry, I'm thinking old school football. Christian Okoye, Nigerian Nightmare. Yeah, the Nigerian Giant there. It's definitely been an interesting push in that department for me. I don't know what they do with Omos, honestly. It seemed like they were trying to bring him along. Huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
They seemed like they were trying to bring him along slow, and they were just giving him these squash matches. And, yeah, it's a real big jump to be fighting Bobby Lashley. You know, I don't know who they would have had to take on Omos in between, but they needed to have him take on someone in between. Because I can't think offhand who would be a big guy that is on the main roster that can take a loss. Because that type of guy, like, I guess I'm thinking of Baron Corbin, but he's on SmackDown, so he's not going to have that privilege for laying down for Omos on Raw. At least I don't think he's going to be one of the guys switching brands anytime soon. So Omos, yeah, it's kind of strange. MVP would seem to be the guy to bring in to help prop up that act. And as of now, it is not really working at all.
No.
I guess anything else from Raw stick out to you that has not caught my eye?
Well, I mean, the man getting the push almost was getting Veer Mahan continues to be pushed very strongly, even though he wasn't in a match this week. He got to intimidate Jerry Lawler before being interrupted by the Mysterios, which, you know, they got the advantage, but not strongly. You know, they didn't really take him off his feet for very long or anything of that sort.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, the Mysterios, they, you know, are definitely going to be used as fodder for one Mr. Veer, Mr. Mahan.
For sure. Yeah. And I guess it'll be interesting to see if Mahan takes off. I don't know who, why they waited so long to debut him. But things seem to be going in a fairly positive direction for him at this point.
Yes.
So, good for him. I will say that for a change, I actually caught Rampage this past week. Did you happen to do so?
Not at all.
I was actually home and remembered to tape it, and I did not watch it until Sunday. It was kind of fun, but nothing that really needs to be talked about all that much, I suppose. Because I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. Yep. Nothing too big a deal going on there. Anything else? Because what? We've gotten the Ric Flair stuff out of the way. Because I'm trying to think if there was any dumb news that popped into the feed this week. But I don't feel like there has been.
No, there really has not.
So,
yeah.
Okie dokie. I think that means bell time beer then. At the current moment, I am drinking the Gristhouse Brewing every once in a while. Every once in a while. It's a California Common, 4.9% alcohol, 0 IBUs. So that would mean that they did not use hops, which is pretty strange. Even the Bud Lights of the world use hops, so that is an interesting twist. It is a easy and drinkable beer. They are out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If you happen to be in that neck of the woods, I will always highly recommend hitting Gristhouse. They have a in-town, in-Pittsburgh location, and they also have a place where you can just straight up buy beer that is outside of town and quite convenient to my younger brothers. So, I happen to get a lot of their beer, which is quite nice. That is from at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.